Welcome to the Out of 10 podcast.
My name is Michael Vallecevilla, and I don't know how to use a microphone.
Well, your microphone is RIP. Well,
yeah.
Your adapter is.
Well, the mic's not bad dead. It's the mic adapter.
Mic adapter.
The mic adapter. Look.
Your peaks are still showing up, like, equal to mine, kind of. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Fix it in post.
Sorry.
Some Michael. Michael. I don't know. His adapters got wet.
Yeah, my adapter. Well, I'm not using. So typically, I would be using the Mac, but I'm using the iPad, which wouldn't be a problem if I didn't try to scare Nicole in the shower and then got the adapter all wet, which made it malfunction when I plugged it into my iPad. I don't regret any of it.
No. So, like, was it, like, are you saying, like, so you just did this, like, an hour ago?
I brought out the harmonica.
But you just did... You did the you broke the adapter an hour ago?
Just before I got
Oh my god.
I was on my way to put this near everything else, but then I was just like, I'm gonna be a dumbass right now.
Oh, it's Jesus.
So like in typical me fashion, it's like I could have just ignored it and everything would have been fine. But I chose the right route.
Oh well.
You know, you turn your L's into lessons or lesions. Who knows? In this case, it's this is not good.
That's me with the word liaison. I always fuck up the word liaison.
Liaison?
Yeah. I always put, like, I's in the wrong spot.
Liaison. Right? Some people forget
Or liaison. Or, like, you put the I after the S, so it's like liaison.
Oh, liaison.
Yeah, that worked. Or Sean.
My brother?
Yeah, Sean. Jan. It is, what day is it? The 18th of February. So yeah. We're almost done this year. Or month. Sorry, not year. Month. If anything, the year's just starting. Because we, our city's out of, like, the hard lockdown now. As of, like, Tuesday. And the city feels different. I don't know if you've noticed it.
No, I've not gone anywhere.
Oh, see?
The canal. Nicole just went to Fabricland.
Fabricland!
get some stuff. Things are, I guess, are a little bit more lax. I don't know. It just feels easier when you're in lockdown after so many times to go through these things. It just seems routine to kind of... This just seems kind of like almost not that prohibitive. Which sounds really
it's
bad.
Weird. I thought that too. I thought everyone was going to be used to it, but like, so I have a you know, like, I have the visitor parking lot right in front of my house, and since Christmas I have never seen it full, and today it is packed to the brim. Like, and when I walked my dog, you know, that part, the visitor parking lane outside 27 Club on the other side of York by the Ottawa sign, that's never full either. And they were both at 5:30 when I was walking the dog, both parking lots were completely packed. And I've walked by a few restaurants, and there are people.
You know, you're right. When walking back every day from the canal since, which I guess was just yesterday, but even then on Tuesday, you can tell, like, the restaurants, even the ones that you don't normally go to, or one, they're just, like, I wouldn't say they're full, but they're occupied.
Yeah. Right?
People are eating, hanging out. Like, I walked by the Heart and Crown. I think it's the Heart and Crown, like, on Bank in Gloucester.
What's the other one? Oh, I'm blanking. It's been so long. Royal Oak.
The Royal Oak. Yeah. You know what I meant. Though.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, hey, I know it's not that one, but I'm just like, crap. What the hell's the name?
The Royal Oak, and yeah, it's people watching the Sens game and shit. So
yeah,
I mean, it's noticeable. You're totally right. Like, I mean, now that I think about it, like, I now notice people are walking out from restaurants.
Yeah,
like,
the big
usually pretty barren at night.
Yeah, I know. The big issue for me is that because there's more people on the road, but the sidewalks are smaller because of the big snowstorm. So my walks are so much longer because I actually need to bring Sully to the side each time if the sidewalk's too packed and make them wait for people. and I get a little antsy because there are times where if I make Sully wait for too long and Sully, like, gets his eyes sight on someone and as someone that person slowly approaches, Sully sometimes thinks that person's like coming for us, so he gets a little defensive. So I have to like keep his attention and make sure like his eyes are on me and that there's no threat, so he doesn't start freaking out. But overall, he's been good. But
classic,
yeah,
Sully Munda.
I know. Oh well. So yeah. So we we didn't talk earlier about what we have. I only have three albums.
What do you have?
I have Claude.
Honestly, like fuck it, we're just gonna call it Claude.
Okay, Claude. I was gonna say Claude. Claude's fuck. What's it called? Super Monster.
I'm gonna Claude my arteries.
Yeah. Then I have the band I've been hyping up or like excited for all this year, and that's Pale Waves. Who am I? And then I have Ignorance by The Weather Station.
Oh, I had that downloaded, but I chose, like, I totally didn't, I didn't listen to it. Mm. So I'm keen to hear what you said. I have Pink Planet by Pink Sweats. It's the only other
one.
Is
that an EP?
I did listen to Tyron by Slow Tie, though I don't think I can give kind of a general sentiment, but not like a full-on review.
Nothing great about Britain. Pink Sweats, is that a full EP or full album?
Full album of
shit. I did not know that. I will download that right now. So I guess the two that we have together is Claude and Pale Waves. So which one do you want to do first?
Let's try Pale Waves.
Okay, and yeah, I'll play music. But if it's too loud on your end, you can tell me to bump it down.
Whatever you need to do.
So, Pale Waves, we reviewed their album, but their debut, 2 years ago? No, 3 years ago now, 2018.
Yeah.
But they were a very hyped up, you know, new wave indie pop band, kind of along the similar vein of 1975, but with a female lead singer, and kind of had this like weird gothic outcast look to them, like the goth kids from South Park.
Yeah.
And they were hyped up for a very long time. Like Television Romance has like, I don't even know how many hundred millions of views, like 300 million views, but it had like had around like 78 million views before that album even came out, just like based on algorithms and stuff. Every time I listened to any like indie or alt rock music video, I was getting Television Romance as a suggested video. I was like,
definitely
Jesus Christ.
By the algorithm.
The algorithm, yeah. I don't know how or why, but the algorithm worked. But My Mind Makes Noises, is that what it was called? Their first album?
Yeah.
I thought it was meh. I thought like it was a little overhyped, and I thought like it's okay. It doesn't sound bad, but like it's aight.
For sure. Like, I mean, one of the biggest criticisms that I kind of gave was, and we still make fun of it today, is that a lot of the songs just sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like, these songs are the same, but like, let's do it differently with different words.
It was very new wavy, like new wave by the book. And I thought, I was like, yeah, but like, it sounds nice, but that's all I could kind of say.
I mean, yeah, we're like, yeah.
And then the songs for this album, Who Am I, started rolling out October, November ish. And I was liking everyone that came out, and then they definitely had a style tone change. They kind of sound, they're kind of going for the early 2000s pop punk vibe. So obviously Avril Lavigne's first two albums, some Ashley Simpson vibes, just like that type of female teen angst. It was the vibe they were going for. And even the album art that they had, they look like kids, like the outcast kids from in 90s, like American Pie movie.
You know what like, comes to mind?
What?
Perfect Score. Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I was going to say Scarlett Johansson or even Janice Ian from Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Or like not the gothic look, but like Lily Sobieski from Never Been Kissed. But that vibe.
I mean, I'm not going to say you're wrong.
Yeah. That vibe of late 90s, early 2000s high school teen flicks, they are like the punk skater kids in that movie.
We're the oddballs. No one likes us. We're not popular.
I know. In Manchester.
In Manchester, you catch the match, eh? Got a bit of footy. Messi, absolutely blue. You got Mbappe, he's got a hat.
You must be
night.
Bollocks, mate.
Absolutely thrilling.
Absolutely
match.
Bollocks.
Get a bit wrecked, though, innit?
Okay, gotta get home. Gotta watch some Corey.
Let's be Corey, eh? Catch a fight with your daddy.
Bruv. Bruv. So all Hollyoaks. So they're from Manchester. So I've been kind of hyped for this album because out of the five tracks that came out, I liked all of them, and I really do.
So which
like
ones did come out for you?
So
which one was the first one?
Change was the first one.
Yeah, that came out last.
And
year.
Then I was like, "Hey, that's cool." And then I think "She's My Religion" came out next.
I think so.
And that was like right before Christmas, and I was really digging that song.
Dig that a lot. Yeah,
and then I think "Easy," "You Don't Own Me," and "Fall to Pieces" kind of came out like every 2 weeks after, like starting mid-January.
Yes.
I think "Fall to Pieces" came out as a single last week, like the day before we recorded last week's episode.
Because the video just came out.
Yeah. And then it basically it kind of the same curse as last time. It was half the album. So this is 11 tracks, 33 minutes, and five of those tracks already came out. But you know what? I ended up enjoying it. I think if you like, I mentioned the Avril Lavigne shit. If Avril Lavigne's "Let Go" and "Under My Skin" are your top two favorite albums of all time, this might be your third favorite album of all time.
You're totally right. You're like, there's a lot going on with the paying homage to Avril. Of course, you mentioned like the more kind of streamlined poppy aspect of the punk movement with Ashley Simpson, even further back with a little bit more of an Alanis Morissette attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely some more kind of modern day like bites with Taylor Swift in there as well.
Yeah, I think I think when we talked about one of the songs earlier, it could have been "Easy," but
it's easy,
where I said like that's a Taylor Swift chorus.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm on the same page. Like, I irrationally like this band more than I ought to.
Yeah.
I like the catchy choruses. I don't think Heather's an amazing vocalist. I still want to listen to her all day.
I still think the pop punk angst suits her better than like the new wave ghost, which she was trying to do last time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like this seems a little bit more natural in terms of like the grain of her voice. So I'm loving it. I'm digging the whole thing. It's been my most listened to album this year. I'm willing to bet that and like the Claude album, just so I can figure Claude.
Good.
Hey, I've got blood club brothers. I can't speak right now. Yeah, but I feel like a lot of the singles that are like very front loaded onto this album. So you have like the back half of the album, I guess, from like right after "You Don't Own Me" all the way down
are basically
like your new part of the album. Which I feel like it loses a lot of the steam because that's where there's a lot less the hooks don't really kind of catch you quite.
Yeah, it's kind of where you get the sad ballads too,
right? And so that's where like as much as they've talked about moving, or I guess Heather's talked about moving the band away from like their previous kind of sound, I don't really think it's that much of a departure overall. I feel like they really wanted to. There are a few different areas in which they can do it, but I guess this all kind of touches along the same themes as the last one. Even though like the first track, "Change," talks more about like what the album should, like I guess the thesis of the album, the like change after like their bus crash, and like I wouldn't call it survivor guilt, but maybe Heather's like not being there, she should have been on the bus when the rest of the crew like actually got, you know, fucking they were driving back from like Sweden to Germany,
yeah,
and, like, they got ridden off the tracks and stuff as well. A little bit of a blessing in disguise this past year because like most of the band was able to kind of recover from their injuries.
Yeah.
So, but like a lot of the projects like that have come out. This one was delayed and was supposed to come out like a few months earlier, which is probably why we got changed so early.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still like it. It's still like a nice listen overall. Like,
yeah.
I think "She's My Religion" is the best song on this one.
I think it's the best chorus like, for sure.
"You Don't Owe Me," I feel like triggers like nice little energy. I feel like if they did bring in like young blood, I feel like that would be a nice little synergy that can be like constructed there in kind of a remix.
I'll play the song tomorrow because I think that's like one of the singles that, or one of the songs that like wasn't a single. Like you can tell there is still a bit of like a new wave influence to it, but I guess my thing is these are the LGBTQ versions of the pop punk anthems you like that didn't exist in 2000, right? So like the Avril Lavigne songs, the Leslie Simpson songs are all about like straight relationships, and now we're getting it for like a, you know, LGBTQ crowd. So now people can kind of resonate and like have teen angst songs that actually matter to them, I guess, if they didn't have it like 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Like She's My Religion, right? It's kind of about like this girl, like society doesn't like her and they don't treat her right, but nah, she's an angel in my eyes. Like I worship her in yeah. like a romantic way. And then this song Tomorrow is basically like the classic, like it's gonna get better, don't kill yourself, or don't like get depressed song. You know, we had tons. We had like Hold On by Good Charlotte. What, Stay Together for the Kids by Blink 182. What else? Like, yeah. I was trying to think of the other song. You remember, like,
Pieces?
Yeah, like, remember back then when those videos played on TV, there would be a disclaimer at the beginning or the front for a kid's help phone or anything like that for hotlines you could call for assistance for suicide or, like, to get help?
I would say that's pretty great of them to do something like that, considering, like, they know their kind of crowd and a lot of people kind of resonate a lot. I mean, I just gravitate to a lot of these songs because they sound pretty to me.
Yeah. But this song Tomorrow is basically like, you know, we know you're gay and it's all right to be gay and you're going to feel like shit, but tomorrow is going to be better and keep like living for tomorrow. You know, which is like a similar theme that those other songs had when we were growing up as kids. But this one was geared specifically towards gay kids. So you kind of have your anthems now that you missed out on 16 years ago.
Yeah. So it's a little, it's kind of funny how like it ends up being like a lot broader for kind of like sometimes it can, some of the songs, obviously like She's My Religion's more kind of geared towards like women on women love.
Yeah.
But even then with having like Sierra as a co-writer on a lot of these songs and even in the past ones, it's more gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, by broad, it's also like very inclusive and speaking directly.
It is, yeah. Like you can
apply to
you, yeah. Like I think you can still, you and I could still resonate with She's My Religion as a straight person because we're talking, we could talk about our, you know, female partners.
as far as I'm concerned, yeah. I think so.
yeah, and then but I, you know, maybe Avril didn't have songs that resonated with that crowd, so.
It was tough to kind of reconcile a lot of these things. I mean, it was a lot easier. And who knew, like, Avril was also part of, like, the machine back then. And so, like, this, there's a little, although, like, the machine's a little bit smaller in terms of, like, pumping a lot of these artists out, like, we still got propagandized this band, which I don't mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think overall, I think there's a sort of like, I feel like this band's heading in the right direction.
I think too.
I think there's a little bit of like, I wouldn't say called preachiness, but kind of like woe is me is a little bit too much in terms of like the writing that it is a little bit clunky. And I think it's always has been. It doesn't stop me from getting to the point of the song, like the heart of what they're trying to say. And I think like the tunes are always pretty top notch. So I think overall, I'm just like, I'm still on board and still everything's still like just catchy enough or super catchy that I'm just on board. It's just like a natural bias that has arisen with this.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up with the exact same music. So to get a refreshed version now, like we're going to like it regardless. But that has the sheen and the pop hooks that we kind of vibe for now. It's just like kind of a blend of both worlds that I think was missing in the first album that we're getting now. So yeah, I fuck with it. It's pretty solid. It's fucking solid, and I listen to it a lot.
Yeah. What do you give?
I gave it an 8.3.
Ha!
I think it's pretty damn good. Like, I like it more than OK Human, and I like it more than Rise Home.
Let me pull up my, because I got my informal list here. What did I give everything?
It is high. I was wondering. I was like, really? Do I want it that high? But then I realized I've listened to it so many times front to back and it's just been a pleasant listen. Like yesterday when I was on the canal, because you know, like I'm still breaking in my skates, right? So I have to take breaks. But once I got to Lands End and skated back home, I started this album and it kind of like boosted me to skate the whole way without any stops. So
you skated the entire canal?
No, I only went to like Dow's, like Land's End and Dow's. But then I turned back, and when I turned back, I didn't have to stop at all because I don't know. I got like that. I got like a boost from this album. Is that you or me?
That's me. Sorry. I get notifications, and it's the only notifications for like Sense games and Raps games and Chelsea matches. Those are the only notifications I grant myself. I don't know, like how do I reconcile this with like something that is I like? I think I do like it. I like a lot of the catchier bits more than I did with Arlo Parks. And Arlo Parks, I gave what? I gave like an 8.3.
Thank you for the same score. Yeah.
So I'll just give it a bit over it, honestly. Like it does the fact that it's such a re-listenable album that I dig it so much. That's what I'm gonna give it. Though I do think that the Black Country album is actually still my top right now. Though I don't know, this seems like a nice little like gatekeeper.
Yeah.
To me. You know, having the back-to-back Brits.
So what are you giving it? What was the number you gave it exactly?
It was an 8.4.
Okay, so a bit of okay. So we're both in the same trail. Yeah, it's just because it's so light. Like it's not gonna blow the bank, but it's exactly what we need, you and me.
It's an iPhone SE. It's not gonna break the bank. It's solid. It's still an Apple product. You're gonna get all the Apple features. It's good and it's light. It's got everything you need.
Yeah. Good old SEs.
MKBHD. Catch you next time.
Mark Ass Brownlee. Fortnite. What?
Where is that even from? Marquez Brownlee.
It's from the YouTube Rewind from like 2018. The one with Will Smith, where Will Smith's like, "Yeah."
Oh.
And then he's like, "YouTube Rewind. It's rewind time." And then he's like, "All I want my YouTube is Fortnite and Mark." He says Marquez Brownlee, but he like kind of he kind of likes it, so it sounds like it's Marquez Brownlee. Oh,
I know exactly how that sounds, even though it doesn't sound anything like Will Smith. It's what he does.
So, speaking of LGBTQ issues, not Will Smith, but Pale Waves, we can talk about Claude or Claude. I think it's Claude, because Claude is a specifically like a male name.
No, I'm just doing because it's French.
So, Claude or Claude?
Claude?
So, Claude is a, this is Claude's debut album, Super Monster. Yes. And Claude signed to Phoebe Bridgers' label, right?
Yeah. This is the first act off the label.
Nice. So Claude is like an indie bedroom pop artist. I get vibes of Claro in there. I get vibes of Benny, who I reviewed last year.
Yeah.
Definitely like good bedroom pop, but definitely could hit the TikTok sphere too. But also could hit like the Nice Guys Chill Wave vibe, that YouTube channel. Debut, and I remember listening to some Claw tracks in the past, but then when this album came through, I was like, I kind of almost wasn't going to listen to it. And then you posted it on your story and I was like, okay, I'll listen to it. And then,
I mean, yeah, I, before the album came out, I went on SoundCloud to listen to their stuff and I was like, yeah, no, I'm definitely all in on Claude. I've got to be, I do. Phoebe Bridgers does like a lot of her tweets on Twitter, so that's how I kind of caught wind of it of them at first. So it's kind of cool how I'm like all these little things kind of. That's how I got into Rina Sawayama as well, off Twitter, yeah. Off just like these pop head and these other pop acts somehow like connecting over time. I like the aesthetic overall of this album art. I'm not gonna lie, it's very unique. Very cool. What is this, like a 13 track
37 minutes
album?
Yeah.
super easy to listen to. Some of the tracks are even just like a minute long, just a little bit over a minute long, so you're never gonna like strain yourself listening to the entire album.
Yeah, and I think that's what convinced me.
One of the tracks, I mean obviously like cup your jeans is like was a single, and Soft Spot as well.
I think Overnight is just like the perfect track that starts the album that lulls you in.
yeah, it's really the theme. It is everything that you need to figure out what this album's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the minute it kicks in, okay, I'm getting to a bedroom pop album, and I know what it is. And that's when you know, like, honestly, like, it's a really, you know, like, right off the bat, it's gonna be a fun light album to listen to. I will admit, though, I actually, it took me a few, I don't know, at least 3-4 listens to really kind of get into the groove and figure out if I like this album or not. The first few times, I actually thought it felt longer than the 37 minutes.
That's fair. I would say that there's certain pockets, and I can't remember exactly which song sounds a little bit weird.
Is it Guard Down with all the vocal effects?
Maybe try that one. There was one that I didn't particularly, I thought was a bit clunky. I think so.
If I go further ahead, it's like,
I don't think this one is it, but anyway, might have been Rocks Through the Window or something like that. But one track that I found was really fucking hilarious, and that I do find is like a real bop, is that's Mr. Bitch.
See, that's Mr. Bitch to you is my least favorite on the album.
I think it's just hilarious. I was just walking one day to get my skates sharpened, and it was like, I guess it wasn't a first listen, so I wasn't super, super paying attention. And all of a sudden, it's like, that's Mr. Bitch. I was like, ah!
You definitely will listen to the lyrics will pop out for sure on that track.
Yeah, it's a bop. Like, it's a fun song. Mm-hmm. Is it any? It's nothing to really kind of.
Yeah, like I think the lyrics are fun, but my knock against it, and my knock made me the knock against this album, which I had on another EP we had earlier this year, is that because of that bedroom pop sound, there's times where it just sounds like a background track for an MTV show or a Lana Condor Noah Centineo movie on Netflix.
Like, you're right. It's like for a lot of the songs, like the standout like tunes are like tend to be like the ones that we mentioned before, like Cup Your Jeans and like Soft Spot, and, like There and Overnight, of course. But even then, those songs you can still find yourself in like that TikTok, Netflix teen drama realm where you shut your brain off and it becomes like a nothing song and more kind of like the background song. Or
but I think. Yeah, so then you do have to pay attention.
Utility song, really.
Yeah, so but I do think you do, once you listen to the emotion, you know, the songs still have an emotional punch to it when you really go deep down to it. Like, I think the hooks for Soft Spot and Jordan, of course I like Jordan because that's my last name.
It's my name too.
But I think those songs have good emotional punches while still having like that chill vibe that fits as, you know, an MTV show track, but still has a catchy pop hook that could be a TikTok track too. You could shoehorn it into like that classic teen Gen Z vibe, but at the same time, there is still enough variety in the tracks.
No, for sure. And I feel like there's maybe a little bit more depth. So like a little bit like the Arlo Parks album in that it's like an elevated version of like these bedroom pop stuff. It's like, it's still someone making music from outside their bedroom because they sick of being inside their bedroom all day because of they're quarantining and shit. So
yeah,
they're on their balcony or something like that. So it does feel like there's a little bit more life and realistic. And even kind of looking back, like, why don't you like me? I see you at this party kind of stuff. Like there's a lot of really relatable energy in a lot of these things. Whereas some of these bedroom pop artists tend to kind of like,
be like actual,
they don't actually hit those notes, like those emotional beats, whereas I feel like Claude does.
Yeah,
even if sometimes, yeah, you can kind of fade in and out, but when you do pay attention, like it does like resonate, it does hit. So that's why I feel like this is a bit more of an elevated, more polished version of like what a normal bedroom pop album would be. It's kind of fun too.
Yeah,
I mean, good. I mean, that's like really great. I don't know where they would go from here. More Mr. Bitches, more Guard Downs, more Cup Your.
No, see, I for me, Guard Down and that are my least favorite. I need more Overnights.
Yeah, no, I need more cut your jeans. So I think
just give me
Jean-Claude Van Damme memes in the box.
Just give me the first like four or five tracks. I think that vibe is kind of more that's kind of the only fault I have too. Again, I guess is that the album is front loaded a little bit. So that's why it took me a while to, it took me multiple listens to really figure out like how I felt about the album, but I'm still positive on it.
No, I'm high on it too. That's like, no, I'm on the same boat. I feel like there's still stuff even in the back end that you can still kind of tease out, and like a lot of more of the emotional stuff. I think like the writing comes through, but I think being front loaded and stuff to capture a lot of your attention, a lot of those songs, like you mentioned, tend to bridge some of like the catchiness and like the lyrics, and there's just still that good balance that kind of like you find in those ones. I really wish it were more, I don't know, maybe a bit shorter, even though it's a 38, like I could, yeah, you could cut out a couple of songs. And yeah, sure, Mr. Bitch is a fun song, but it, yeah, you're right, it might not actually belong there all that much, but I'm just kind of glad it exists. What did you give this album?
I gave it a 7.3 out of 10.
Okay. I gave it a 7.6. I think that it's a really good start. I want to hear more. And like with a lot of these artists that work on such a limited budget, I suspect we might get another piece of music this year, or next year, or as soon as next year. So I'm big on it. I don't mind. We'll see what they come out with.
What Claude comes out with?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, because Jean-Claude Van Damme's a guy.
No.
I don't know why, but Street Fighter comes on a lot in one of the TV channels that I have, and I watch like a good hour of it, and I don't think it's that bad.
I feel like early Van Damme hits differently. But after a certain point, I can't remember what that threshold was, but there was a certain point where it just stopped.
I think it's when he gets to the Rodman movies. When he gets to, I forget what that one's called, but his last best.
Oh my gosh. I remember listening to how did this get made with that one?
The last good one I would say is probably the one where he's stopping the terrorists in the middle of the Pittsburgh Penguins playoff game. And you know that one where, I can't remember what else is going on in that movie.
Long. Honestly, I can't remember some of the
details. Yeah, he's like a...
I just remember like the energy now. I don't even remember the scene.
Yeah, so he's a security guard, and him and his daughter or kitten, maybe son? No, I think his daughter, go to a Penguins game while they're facing the Kings. And then he like discovers a terrorist plot to bomb the building like once the third... Or like after the game ends. So he's trying to stop the bomb... and it becomes kind of
like the plot to that Project Midnight thing from The Office with Michael Bourne.
Oh, Threat Level Midnight. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like Die Hard too, right? Because he's the only one who knows, and he's like going in, you know, boiler rooms and shit, and to stop this plot. But then the plot like gets lengthened because the game goes into sudden death. That's what it's called. It's called sudden death because sudden death overtime.
So with JCVD here, like, it was very obvious that he was the Zellers to Schwarzenegger's Walmart.
It's hard to say because Van Damme, like, it's hard because Van Damme had more, like, you know, actual, like, technical fight scenes.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, I guess if we're talking about buff European dudes who are acting as like action leads, yeah, sure. But if any, like it's like Steven Seagal is like a secondary layer of Zellers to Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, but also like, but you were mentioning like the diehard aspect of it. So like, it's that mix of your OGs with your Bruce Willis, and your Schwarzenegger because of that kind of crossover. Schwarzenegger was obviously like very personable. And any other wrestler that came out at that time doing any kind of movies as well. But, Steven Seagal had his, the same time. I feel like he fell off a lot harder than JCVD, though.
Yeah.
He just keeps pumping out straight trash.
Like, the biggest thing in Seagal's, like, career is when he dies early in that Kurt Russell movie, and everyone was surprised because he was billed, like, second in the credits. And he dies like 20 minutes into the movie.
Oh my god, it's like, what was that other movie? It's like, oh, I can't remember. Like, Angelina Jolie was in a movie, but she was barely in it.
I don't know. How
I don't
recent
even
is
know.
it?
It was a long time ago.
Oh.
It might have been like, do you remember that Jude Law movie that was like set like back in the day? Fuck. It was just like, damn, that's like a really obscure movie. Now I'm like
The
really.
Holiday?
Huh? No,
No.
that's a good movie. No one will
I watched that
ever.
over Christmas. It's pretty good.
It's. Oh my God. What's it called? Angelina Jolie movie.
I was thinking more of like Ben Affleck and Smokin' Aces.
Ooh, that's good. Oh, Sky Captain and the World of Sky.
Oh, fuck. I peaked so
She's
bad on
in
that.
it. She's
Yeah,
not really in
I
it.
dragged my mom to watch that movie in theaters because I thought it was cool, and we went to the 9 o'clock showing, not realizing how long that movie was gonna be.
Dude, Gwyneth Paltrow. Do you
Yeah.
even remember Gwyneth Paltrow in that?
Yeah, she
She
is
was like
the.
the only character in that movie.
It's like them. I think it's him, her, and like Giovanni Ribisi. Yeah, that's it. And then Angelina Jolie shows up like halfway through the movie as this like ex-girlfriend who runs like a fucking
She
like
was in maybe
Zeppelin.
three scenes total, and it's hilarious because like everyone, I went in, like I think we rented the movie and we thought there would be more because like it's she's like third billing, like top
Yeah.
two billing really, right? And you realize like she's not really there at all.
Mom fucking hated that movie. I think she was so hyped up thinking like, wow, Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie in one movie. And the minute like she realized what the style of the movie was, she's like, I'm done. She walked out. We rented Sin City and she walked out 5 minutes in because she said this looks like a fucking cigarette ad.
Yo, your mom's a straight OG sometimes. I
My
like
mom
her.
is weird. Like, I remember we watched Kill Bill Volume 1. She's like, good movie, but like, come on, let's be real. She would not beat 88 men. It's like, okay.
Yeah, like I get that. Like she's in Onitsuka Tigers. Like she's probably wearing something a little bit differently, but still.
Yeah. But she's like, come on, be real. Be real. I'm like, hey, mom, it's a movie. Not everything has to be like perfectly real. Like, it's not Christopher
Yeah,
Nolan where
exactly.
he's
Or like
researching
seven
at.
hits on the chest, like after
Yeah.
walking for 11 steps. I don't know.
It's not Chris Nolan where he's researching and getting like 10 NASA scientists to see what the physics of this one ball rolling is.
And the only concession he'll make is that, like, when you go into a tunnel, it turns into night. Still, where do we come from this? Oh, Claude, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Okay.
Yeah. You can do the Pink Sweats album.
The beginning things starts. It won't be too long because honestly, like most of these songs I brought up well before. So all the songs are on here. Heaven from last week. What's it called? 17 from like last year, 2 years ago. Even Honesty at My Worst. So these are the bigger songs that brought him into the mainstream and even his EP before and his EP before. So Pink Sweats, this artist from Philadelphia. I think he lives in Nashville now. Most people kind of recognize the song Honesty the most because it was like really nice off of like volume one back in 2018 and volume two came out, I wouldn't say last year, sorry, 2019. So he's come out consistently with things, right? And the Prelude EP. So all those songs from the Prelude made it onto this album. Overall, like you kind of get this very soft escape. A very light R&B from Pink Sweats, and it's all done with like intent, and you can see a lot of that in the and like the in the titles of the songs, so like Heaven, Paradise, Sweet, Beautiful Life, like Lows, not like Ice, like all these kind of things. Pink Family, they create that kind of like soft motif, more so in like the front end, but like the overall motif and like the style of the rest of the songs are kind of there. Obviously, some of like the stuff that like Honesty doesn't really kind of fit in with that kind of like the more kind of like heavenly aspects of it, but he's such a good singer. He just kind of draws your attention to a lot of these things. I don't know. You can put literally anything.
I'll just play
Can you
Heaven.
try Chains?
I put on Heaven.
Do that because we tried that last year, last week.
Okay, yeah, I remember this. So it's sex music.
It's almost more not juvenile, sorry, it's more PG than that.
So it's romantic. It's just like, it's the romantic music to build up before the sex.
Yeah, it's like that pre, like, I still want to be like, I'm a nice guy, but like,
it's so it's like smash. It's the romantic table, like candlelit table dinner, but like before any like, so your place or my place gets mentioned.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna tell you I want to smash, right?
But
like,
I'm putting in the effort that will eventually lead to it.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm just gonna like set everything up for you to take the lead on that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. So there's a sort of like, I don't know, sweetness to the entire album. It can be kind of very samey, like
it's long, because it's a bunch of his, like it's all his tracks.
Yeah, At My Worst just played twice, one with the Kehlani feature. It's fine, like honestly, it's 18 tracks, it's under an hour, it does feel a little bit longer, and because of the sameness of the entire whole thing, like it does kind of bring it down for me. I think from a technical standpoint, he's a very good singer. Obviously, you can tell with a lot of like the church choir influences in the style of the music and even the style of his like singing. But I mean, I'll let him sing to me. it's really nice, and honestly, it's a nice little like distraction from work sometimes. Just kind of be like, oh, this is kind of like serene at times, you know?
Yeah.
Minor vocal runs, he's very very effortless way of, it's kind of like an effortless breathy way of singing that I find really compelling. Multiple listens at this point that I think like I've got enough of it for now, but we'll see like when things start becoming a little bit brighter and like the whole view and there's maybe more vaccines available for people, that there are fewer lockdown restrictions, maybe this whole thing will kind of change, and that's a lot of these positive albums might ring a little bit differently because of that. So for now, it's a 7.2 for me. It's a little bit long and samey, but
same, but different. Same, but different.
Same,
but different. The interview.
Arrested Development.
Oh.
Same.
Oh, same.
Same.
I started watching Search Party this week.
What's Search Party?
It stars maybe from Arrested Development. What's her name?
I saw. What's it called?
What's her name now? Aaliyah Shawkat.
Yeah.
But it's like a dark comedy about four friends, and one of their old college friends goes missing, and then I guess they do a search party. I'm not at the point where a search party is made, but no. It's pretty funny. It's got John Reynolds in it. I don't know if you know him, but he's like this tall, he plays like tall nerdy characters, but he's in the Hulu remake of Four Weddings and a Funeral, and he was like that like nerdy sheriff that was with Hopper in like season 1 and 2 of Stranger Things. But he's a lead on this show and he's pretty funny.
John Reynolds.
Yeah, I think it's John Reynolds.
I've never seen this man in my life. Is this it?
Yeah, that's exactly him.
Oh my gosh, he just looks like,
but he plays the
I mean, in some ways he looks like maybe.
Yeah, he plays the cautious nerd man very well.
See, this is a mumblecore shit.
Yeah, but he's believable. He's believable enough that someone, you know, because he's tall and he dresses well and everything. He's believable enough that you're like, okay, he definitely like can get a girlfriend and stuff. But he's still good at like seeming meek when he needs to in a show. But I like him.
He was in Horse Girl.
I haven't watched Horse Girl.
Because it's like the first thing that pops up as well. If you put in like his other movies and TV shows, and I was like, Allison Brie's in a movie called Horse Girl.
I haven't watched that one.
He seems like he would fit in with like Adam Pauly and like those kinds of characters.
Ben Schwartz.
Low on Hide the Body.
Have you watched that Thomas Middleditch show?
Uh, I was trying to figure out one of the jokes for the commercials. I can't.
It's because it's him.
Exactly.
It's him and like his sister or something like that, right? That's what the premise is.
Well, high school friend.
Oh, okay, that's what it is. Okay.
It's the same actress from like Masters of Sex.
I thought it was Meghan Trainor. have you watched Young Rock? Have you watched Young Rock yet?
That's not out, is it?
It's out. It came out like yesterday.
Well, obviously not. No.
I was thinking about watching it last night and I didn't.
I mean, okay, so talking to like guys who like, I mean, you grew up with wrestling. I was very familiar with wrestling.
Yes.
I grew up with another friend who really liked wrestling. So I was definitely part of it. And The Rock was my favorite, I guess, like wrestler at the time. You would think that it's like, it rings so, I mean, like we jump on it, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like my luster for The Rock has kind of waned a lot. It has. And I don't know if I'm actually very Team Rock at all at this point. Not because like I've grown out of it. It's just like he is capitalism embodied.
Yeah, I just find that his roles have been too samey. Like I've skipped a lot of his movies. Like I haven't watched Skyscraper. I haven't watched what else haven't I not watched? I didn't watch Baywatch. I didn't watch what's the one with the earthquake?
Hold on. I got it. Hobbs and Shaw.
I have not seen Hobbs and Shaw either.
Okay, The Fate of the Furious. I think I saw. Okay, so Jim. Okay, so recent movies. Rampage. Oh, San Andreas.
I did not. So all the these big budget disaster movies that he's in. So Rampage, San Andreas, Skyscraper. I have not watched any of them.
Okay, so I think of this. I've seen The Fate of the Furious. I've not seen Hobbs and Shaw. Definitely seen Moana, and. You know I fuck with this movie so hard.
Jumanji?
No.
Scorpion King? Well, I can't see it.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I thought... I see it on your screen, but I can't see it on my... Okay, so yes, the Scorpion King.
Yeah. I will admit, I saw Central Intelligence on a plane, and I thought it was okay.
Pain and Gain, I thought he was... Actually, not too bad.
Not bad.
And the poster has him, you know, big, muscly, like serious, but he's actually not that serious, and it's actually a comedy. Did you see The Rundown, also known as Welcome to the Jungle, with Sean William Scott?
I watched that in theaters.
Okay, Journey on my to birthday. The Center of the War of the World.
I did not watch that one. Okay, I watched because that was when I was a fan of The Rock. So I went to The Rundown and I saw Walking Tall in theaters.
Oh yes. I thought those were the same movie.
And then after that, he did kid movies. Like, he was doing, The Tooth Fairy. So
what is The Rundown if it's not Walking Tall? Because I remember...
No, The Rundown is where he and Sean William Scott go to, like, South America because they need to... I think... I can't remember where it is. I think... Fuck. He needs to go to South... The Rock is like a bounty hunter or something like that, and he gets paid to go catch Christopher Walken's son, or stepson, who is Sean William Scott, because he's like a treasure hunter. And then he and Sean William Scott then go on an adventure to treasure hunt and find something. And then I think once Christopher Walken gets wind of it all, he brings like a gang over and they try to like stop it and try to get the money and everything. That's The Rundown. Walking Tall is a remake, and that's where this old army veteran like comes to his old town and realizes his high school buddy kind of runs the city, like, and he's kind of like a mafia, like a small town mafia dude who runs the town, and like he runs the casino in town. He pays off the sheriffs. And then Dwayne Johnson's like, I want this town to be like the good hearted town I grew up in, and then tries to stop the corruption, and then they get into fights.
Okay, so there's a lot in that, and I'm really glad you... Gridiron Gang is still like a top movie for me in terms of The Rock. I think Doom was a very forgettable movie, though. Garbage movie. That, you know, what's it called? Walking Tall came out in 2004. The Rundown came in 2003. I saw Walking Tall, the original version, in 2003. Saw the ads for Walking Tall in 2003, which is probably why I thought they were the same movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, those are his two first, like, starring roles. But yeah, if it makes it any easier, in The Rundown is when The Rock still has his hair that he has in wrestling, like his little crew cut. Walking Tall is when we start to see him with his, like, full on, like, almost shaved head.
When Get Smart, even in 2008, he still has some, like, pillow.
In Get Smart, he comes back with it, like, he does that, and then in Get Smart and, like, The Game Plan and Tooth Fairy and all that stuff.
Race to Witch Mountain kind of
thing. Yeah, he gets his hair. That's where his hair comes back, and then from the other guys onward is when he's bald.
Did you know he was in a movie called called Hercules?
Yeah, I remember that, but I didn't watch it.
He has long hair. I don't know how we feel about
it. Wow.
He was also, so I got really confused in looking at this thing on Google, because it says in 2015 Fast and Furious Supercharged, and I was very confused as to what that was. It turns out it is an attraction at Universal Studios.
Oh, okay, so he's like on screen or something being like, yo, so
it's an 11 minute short action sequence as part of like the attraction. And so, like, you see, let me just show you the poster as to how ridiculous it looks. There's so it's Vin Diesel. I don't know what he's, like, on top of.
But they're doing stunts, and I guess, like, your seats move with it, right?
Yeah, like, I guess so. It's very confusing, all of it. Like, he's holding on to an airplane. I don't see, like, look at the proportions on this poster. Is he as big as this plane, or am I just...
Do you remember the math that went into the skyscraper ad? There was, like, this... You know, like, in the trailers for Skyscraper and in the poster, they keep promoting this shot where he has to jump from a crane to a building, but he's a one-legged man. So then Reddit did the math to see, based on the poster, if he could actually make the jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously he couldn't. I love the representation part, but like, Jesus, like he's gotta be like, not even, I mean, Spider-Man, that's like a big leap for Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I think it was also too, like, the proportions were off. Like, based on the size of the skyscraper in the poster and based on how his body was sized in the poster, he seemed like he was actually like scaled to be a 10-foot tall man or something like that. Like, it was, the proportions were all off, shit like that.
And what bothered me a lot about, like, that shot is not so much the jump, is that he grabs onto the ledge with broken glass with his bare hands.
I remember I watched the scene to see what happens, and I think he does, but I think he grabs a fire hose too.
I mean, your...
He does, like, the diehard thing.
Your hands would get... First, they'd get ripped.
Okay, but he's trying to save his family, Michael. You've never been in a situation where you need to save your wife and kids. You don't know the extra power that people get when they're in life-saving stuff, right? And his wife was Neve Campbell.
I would still go, ow, ouchies.
Yeah, but then he does. I'm pretty sure he does. He probably, like, goes ow, and, like, yeah, you can see, like, him in pain in the movie. Like,
yeah, stuff.
Yeah, you're gonna have to watch it. Like, he definitely, like, probably still reacts in pain in these scenes. Like, he has some sort of realism. He's not just like Colossus.
Do you think that in the shots, like, upon in the takes, he goes, ow, my leg. I mean, my other leg.
Maybe. They have to, like, retake. They have to retake a whole scene because he's limping on the wrong leg throughout the whole movie.
God damn it, Dwayne!
Dwayne, your left leg is the fake one. Limp with that one.
Sorry, I was busy filming Billions.
Yeah, I've no ballers. He's filming ballers. You watch Billions.
I was watching both at the same time to catch up.
Oh, I stopped and watching Ballers.
Crave. Both on Crave, which is why I got them confused. Yeah. Because same time, Bill, Ballers, yeah. That's in my head. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to your review, because that took a bit of a turn.
All because we brought up Search Party. Yeah. So my last review is Ignorance by The Weather Station. So mm-hmm. I haven't listened to The Weather Station ever before. But I saw a lot of good reviews on this album, so I thought I would give it a shot. So The Weather Station is the pseudonym for a singer from Toronto. Her name is Tamara. I don't know if it's Tamara or Tamara, but I'm going to go Tamara. Tamara Lindemann. So yeah. It's just kind of her project. And this is essentially like an art pop album. Instrumentally, it kind of reminds me of The National, because you get like a driving rhythm. But like it's powered by drums and piano and then like guitar, strings and horns kind of get added as needed for flair. But I also get some elements that remind me of not the last War on Drugs album, but the one before that, Lost in the Dream, because there's like it's a pretty dreamscapey album too. So it has a Heartland feel, like it has an earthy Heartland feel, but not the rock aspect of it, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
And then vocally, The Weather Station, she kind of sounds like a mix of Kate Bush, Joni Mitchell, and Wiseblood. Like, she kind of has that spooky, ethereal vibe to it.
Yeah.
So the album's 40 minutes, 48 tracks, like 10, or sorry, 40 minutes, 48 seconds-ish. It's 10 tracks. It's not bad. I'll play, like, kind of, again, the same issue, it's kind of, like, stayed with this whole episode is that this album is kind of front loaded again. I think that an LGBTQ artist has kind of been the trend for this week. But I'll play Robber. I'm getting echo on your end, by the way, but I think it'll be fine.
Should I mute?
I don't know. So I'll play. Okay, wait. Robber's playing now, so let me speed up. She kind of reminds me of Feist too, but I think that's just like the Canadian indie artist aspect that probably does that.
The vocals, yeah, definitely.
And it kind of like actually this first track kind of reminds me of some Reflector vibes in that it's like artsy pop that has like a symphonic flair, but there's still a driving rhythm that is kind of groovy. So it does give me some Reflector vibes, but obviously not as good. Reflector is an amazing album.
Yeah.
Again, so it is front loaded. The first five tracks flow really well together. Again, like a driving rhythm that kind of is like a driving soundtrack. And that's why it reminds me of the War on Drugs, like album two albums ago. But the second half kind of like drones on a little too much for me. That's kind of the only knock on it. I think just because like the rhythm just kind of slows down and then you kind of get lost in it. But there are some really good ballads in the back end. One ballad's called Trust, and I think that's kind of like the big Joni Mitchell-sounding sad piano ballad that I think is a really beautiful track. And another song called Heart that actually sounds like a track from the last Future Islands album. So I can't hate that. But this is Robber, so I mean, like, if you don't like this song, you're not going to like the rest of the album. And then there's one other song that I really like called I Tried to Tell You. I'll play like halfway through because I think vocally this is kind of where it's the best. So you can tell she kind of has that like symphonic, ghosty, flowy voice. but I mean, it's a decent album. I don't think it's as good as maybe like the ratings that I'm seeing around of it. Like it's gained a lot of like album of the year type vibes. it's pretty, I think it's a good listen. It does, takes a fair amount of brain power, I guess. Like, you really need to listen to it to enjoy it. It's not as laid back as, like, the Claude album or the Pale Waves album. But I'll give it about a 7.4 out of 10. I still enjoy it and I recommend it. But I think because it is an art pop album that has a lot of, like, symphonic elements, you gotta think and listen to it. Like, it took me a few times to really get it.
Nice. Very cool. I mean, I'm tapped out for albums. I wanted to listen to that one. Didn't get around to it. Couldn't quite translate what was going on with the Slow Toy album. But I might get to it next week, or just not give it a rating and just put it on my list. Want to go to tracks?
Sure. What do you have?
I have a 25 million diamond on my forehead.
Is there a new Lil Uzi Vert track?
No. No. What is it called? There's a Sharon Van Etten track that came out.
Yeah.
On Your Way Now?
Yeah, I have that. Once I get this fucking playlist of the songs I have. It's nice. It definitely is like a laid back track that probably is just like an interlude track for a movie. Sharon sounds nice, but it's not an exciting track. Again, it kind of is like the Weather Station stuff, where it's just like really sounds very nice and whispery and breathy. That's kind of, it's just there, eh? Yeah. What other tracks do you have?
I know you have one of the Kings of Leon one.
Yeah, Echoing. Honestly, I kind of like it because it reminds me of the first two Kings of Leon albums, like the really early shit. But a little bit on like the Nathaniel Rateliff sounding stuff. I like Nathaniel Rateliff, but...
Dangly rock.
Yeah. Did you see Nathaniel Rateliff on SNL, like, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
I think it was last week.
It was last week. Shit, wow. Who was 2 weeks ago then? Oh, Phoebe was 2 weeks ago. Bridges. I'm dumb.
My girl... Big ol' Phoebe Bridges. Guitar smashing.
Little bitch. You mean little bitch.
Little bitch. Phoebe Bridges.
Yeah, I'm excited for this Kings of Leon album. I still think the Bandit is the best out of the three tracks. But
yeah,
I do think that it seems like a good all-encompassing album. Like, it seems like it's a good mix of all the Kings of Leon we've had. Like, the Bandit kind of reminds me of the Mechanical Bull era, with a mix of maybe the epicness of like the arena rock albums from like the late 2000s that got them big, but the other seem like kind of like the first two albums, how this like really laid back Americana vibe to it. Mm-hmm. So I can't hate.
I will say, I mean, this one, yeah, this is best two out of three. I mean, I think I'm gearing up for like a solid B.
Yeah.
Kind of like a 7.5 out of 10 for a Kings of Leon album, which I think at this point wouldn't be too bad. I'd be very surprised if there were some straight bangers after this.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Bandit made, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bandit ends up being the best track on the album.
Yeah. Still pretty good. I also have Celebrity by IU.
Celebrity?
I love my K-pop princesses. Apparently.
How do you spell her name again? I forget.
Literally,
oh, it's IU.
I tried finding her subreddit. It's literally AIYU.
Of course, it's got finger snaps.
I always find how, like, surprised how well she says English words.
She's been saying English words?
No.
It's just like, and it's stuff I don't understand.
I can't tell. I can't tell if there's English words being said. Are there actually?
A celebrity.
Are there actually English words being said?
She just says celebrity. I think that's the only thing. Oh, okay. And if not,
okay. I'm not. So my brain's not going like all over the place. Okay.
I think the only one is obviously Love Story.
That's a love story, baby. Just say yeah. What makes this version different?
Oh gosh, the arrangement's different. The vocals are like worlds apart. It hits differently. I find that this is a much better like song version of this. Like it's very like very. It tries to say a lot of like very true to like the old version, but you can tell like that even though like they're the same thing, they're not coming from the same spots, right? Like Taylor sings from a much like richer, more kind of like.
But was this like, recorded? Better. Like when was this recorded?
More recently.
Okay.
Right.
So it's just like a like JoJo's thing where she just reimagined her like old work.
Yeah. So that's how you already could be.
So we're saying JoJo's a pioneer who has sex.
It sounds better.
Okay, yeah, but it's because she was fucking like 16 years old when she made the last one, of course. She like didn't know how to like train her voice back then.
She was singing, like she still sounds pretty like okay.
Okay, the only difference is like an extra fiddle.
It's better from like a wiser position, but it sounds like someone who's like, there's a difference in like, the way I kind of see it is like the first version, like maybe because I'm older too, right? The first version is like, it really is like, someone who's like living that little Romeo and Juliet kind of thing, because she was so young and sounds like a young girl, whereas this one seems just like someone who's reading from like their journal.
It just for me it just like, sounds like
reading a story to you, right?
I don't think it's that deep. I just hear one is teenage, I am a 16-year-old, and one is I am almost 30 is how it sounds, and the only difference I heard in that chorus is like an extra fiddle. That's all I heard.
Man, I like spent like maybe an hour listening to both back.
Maybe it's because I'm annoyed because like when Love Story and You Belong With Me and like all that, like that era Taylor Swift is my family road trip era. So right. I have like a disdain but love for those tracks because they were overplayed to me during these 8-hour long road trips, but at the same time they bring back memories of those road trips. So like
it
depending on how I feel, I either extremely hate it or extremely love it.
So I didn't really catch on to Taylor Swift until afterwards, and definitely like Love Story was the one that is still my favorite of hers. I'm curious as to how that one will turn out. But yeah, like in essence you get exactly what it is. It's older Taylor Swift singing these songs, right? Pioneer JoJo, who has sex, has really paved the way for all of us.
For a re-recording track.
It's going to be a 26-track album because there's going to be 6 full tracks that are from The Vault, and everything else is the first 20 tracks.
How about this? Hear me out. You know what I think she should do? I think she needs to recreate Ryan Adams' recreation of 1989.
Because is that one under contract as well?
I don't know, but I think that's because we can't listen to the Ryan Adams versions anymore because of like what has come out of him, but they will be re-listenable again if Taylor Swift re-records those, because I think Ryan Adams' version of what's it called?
Blank Spaces?
No, it wasn't Blank Space. The Let's Get Out of This Town one. What's that one? Oh, Wildest Dreams. I think Ryan Adams' version of Wildest Dreams is better than Taylor's, but I want Taylor to sing Ryan Adams' version. That's what I want. Give me that.
So just to give a little bit of this will be Taylor Swift's 4th album in like 3 years. So, yeah. she'll probably release the other, like, what was after this one? What was after Fearless? Speak Now next year, right? I think it's everything up to maybe, I think 1989 was the last one. So maybe we might be able to get there in a few years.
maybe
to so she can actually get it. There's the Taylor versions and the piano versions of the Taylor one. So you're not completely off in that you might be able to get that if there's some re-recorded.
But it depends, right? Like, it depends how Taylor feels about Ryan Adams. Like, does she think that she can't touch those because it's associated with them? Or does she want to, like, make a version that we're allowed to listen to again?
They're her songs, regardless. Yeah. I feel like it's like, oh, cool, like,
but it was such a big, it was such like an amazing thing when it came out, and now we can't like listen to them.
I liked it at the time.
I loved it.
And I just feel that, no, I see no problem. She gets everything. She gets all the money from it, right? Instead of Big Machine.
Yeah.
So I see no, and not even Big Machine. He has no claim over it either. That's still her stuff. So she can arrange it however she wants. It's her shit.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you're right. Like, it depends on if she personally would want to go there.
Yeah.
So but she might release two versions of it, or I guess like the third, the second and a third version.
Yeah.
Of it, right?
So I think that would be pretty cool. I think that would be like a pretty, that would be a very innovative thing that I think would put her over.
My question is, would you rather, like, as you can see, like, there's not a ton of differences between, like I wouldn't say significant differences, right? Like, you're still going to get a lot of the same things from Love Story, right? Listening to them back to back. So there's, like, minor differences. Would you rather something like that, more kind of one-to-one, or something that's slightly more, like, arranged?
I would want it more arranged. I think those songs are, I think it's not as cool if it's, you know, like the Foo Fighters re-recording Everlong or anything like that, because they were grown adults and they're still grown adults. But I think Taylor Swift, like, re-recording, because these are songs where, yeah, maybe she wrote it, but like, she obviously didn't have like the arrangement talent that she has now, or doesn't have like the musical acumen that she has now. So
the productions also
so
different,
like,
right?
To know, like, to like, she obviously has the base of it, right? So I think now that she knows what she knows now, to, you know, turn these songs that are very like juvenile, like 16-year-old style, to like this 30-year-old like mature style, I think would be kind of neat. So I don't want an exact re-recording. I want like a let's like, you know, kind of, you know, when you hear a live version of a song versus a studio and you're like, holy shit, like, why didn't they record that outro instead, right? Like, I kind of want that.
Yeah, there's I think one of the other differences that I noticed in the Love Story is like, it was, the first one is very much out of its time in terms of like the Nashville country pop twanginess, whereas this one, there are more smaller differences that make it a little bit more kind of mainstream, right? Closer to the sound that she's actually doing now. You're still getting some twit, like fiddles and stuff like that, but it's not as annoying. And like, you're not going to get like, her voice is stronger now, so in part of the choruses, you're not going to hear like, often they'll have like harmonizers, like the male harmonizing voice. That guy doesn't even show up. He's like faded into the background because she can sing much better.
Yeah. So,
but we'll see. Like, I'm in the same opinion that like, I feel like it would be a little bit like, I want a noticeable difference. If I'm gonna get something, if you're gonna tell me the same thing, sing the same song, like, actually tell it to me from a completely different perspective.
I don't need the I don't know.
Well, the perspective, like it's not going to be completely rearranged, but it's going to sound different.
Yeah. Like, I, at minimum, like, I think, well, I mean, it's a bigger age gap, but I think like JoJo's, you can tell there's an automatic difference just in terms of how her voice has matured, right? So I need at least that. And I think I get that
JoJo's
enough from Love Story.
A lot. It's too late.
But I think, like, yeah, you can tell like one is a 16-year-old and like a 28-year-old, but I want it to sound like I am reimagining the track and not just like singing it again, because I could just get that from seeing you live, right? That's the difference.
More Bon Iver is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Bon Iver live is a whole other experience than studio Bon Iver.
That was a huge, huge,
yeah,
difference.
The biggest difference I've ever seen. Yeah,
blown away. But yeah, we'll see. I don't think it'll happen. I think we'll get a lot of these closer one-to-one.
Yeah. Other tracks that I have, The Vaccines covered High Horse by Kacey Musgraves, and it's not bad, but it's not as exciting as like Kacey's version. Men I Trust, they released a song called Titties.
What?
They released a song that's called Titties.
Like, okay.
T-I-D-E-S. Titties.
Memo to me. I will be using that from now on.
when you're doing laundry and you're like, yo, babe, we're at a titty. I need that. I need titty. Yo, babe, look at this titty ad on TV.
It's a titty ad.
Yeah. Tides is what it's called, but I was like, I'm going to call it titties. I love Men I Trust, but I don't know, like this and the Lucky Sue track that they released right before or right after Christmas, they're okay, but there's something missing. They sound like they're underwater.
I always feel like Men I Trust does sound like they're underwater. Or maybe it's because
it's like the womp womp. It's the womp womp. The womp womp. But I think their early output from like 2018 and later. Yeah. Like that stuff like is a bit more pronounced and a bit more on like the bedroom pop side. Yeah. Like this is a little bit more like womp womp.
I have a troubled relationship with Men I Trust because I fucked up my knee.
My knee's fucked up right now.
Well, I mean, I think that was the same day, or that was the same kind of. It was the Wednesday before we were gonna go. I was gonna meet you there, to the concert, and then I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, every time I think of Men I Trust, I'm like, yeah, I want to like them, but I feel like I would gain a better appreciation had I seen them live.
We could never do that show again. Like in. Now, because it was the most like cramped venue I've ever been in my whole life.
Yeah,
I could barely buy a beer, and like once I finished my beer, I had to hold it the whole time because I had no spot to put it back on. Like I had no way. Like it was the tightest venue. And I remember when I walked in, they're like, "Hey,
where was it again?
Minotaur. Right. But I remember walking in and then I was like, here's my name. Like I think I handed him my ticket. I'm like, here's my name. And they're like, you're listed under two tickets. And I was like, oh yeah, the other person isn't coming. And they're like, what? I was like, yeah, like they're not coming. And they're like, the woman felt super sad for me. She's like, really? Are you sure? She's like, do you want me to, like, if someone comes in and, like, they're looking to buy a ticket to come in, do you want me to get them to pay you so that you get the ticket? Or you get the money for it? And I was like, no. Like the situation of why this person isn't coming is, like, a whole other thing. Like, don't worry about it. She's like, are you sure? Like, we can do this. And I was like, it's fine. Like, thank you so much for this. But, like, no.
Oddly accommodating.
Yeah. And then that's where I lost my scarf. I lost my scarf and Steven Latino had to go get it for me. Because the woman left it on the hook, on the hanger. And I was like, hey, my scarf's there. Can you look? And she's like, okay. And then she goes back to that hook and just doesn't see it. What are you looking at? What does that say? Christmas Tree Farm? Who's that? What is that? Who? Taylor Swift? When she's 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a wild. I don't know. I'm just scrolling through her Apple Music. I think it's kind of funny. Yeah. Wild. That wild. Sucks. But also that's hilarious that they were just so like overeager.
They were so overeager to help me out and I was like, it's fine, don't worry about it. I've never seen that many toques in May. All the dudes were wearing like fisherman knit caps.
What was it, May?
It was like April or May. Like it was definitely like.
It was definitely March.
Really? I thought it was past the point where we needed. It was past the point where we needed hats.
March, April, then. I know that like I messed up my knee in the spring. I know. Okay, so. No, like, there was snow, but it randomly snowed a lot that day where it normally wouldn't.
And I remember I walked there.
You walked there?
I walked there.
Is that a long walk for you?
Yeah, it was like a 30-minute
walk.
That's
like a pretty decent walk for me.
Yeah, no, I walked from home. I went over the bridge, and then from the bridge, it was still like another like 15, 20 minutes.
You took the Alexandra Bridge.
Yeah, the one that's closed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because I remember walking past the museum and like a few other spots.
It's a decent walk. It's nice though.
Yeah. But the streets were dead. Like that, it was like quarantine dead. There was one dude I saw and he was like carrying a suitcase and I was like, this guy's freaking me out.
Yeah. It's the dirty.
Yeah. It's the Le Gatineau.
Got trash.
Yeah. That's it for me.
I will say that the 303 track, like I mentioned earlier today, they covered Ariana Grande's Tattooed Heart.
I never liked 303 though, so like I don't care about it.
Yeah, no, it's. I thought I'd give it a listen. It's so much worse than I thought it would actually be. I love that song because it's one of my favorite songs from Yours Truly, and I was like, why? Oh, like there were so many questions. Like, why did they record this song? Why this song? Right? Why did they change up the lyrics? You know. And why make it like bro electric pop?
Okay, yeah.
You know, It just brought a lot more questions up, and I'm not entirely sure why. That's it for me. Do we have any, like, what's coming up in terms of like album drops?
Let me look really quick. Well, you know, Young Rock season 1 episode 2 is gonna happen next week. I think that's the big one, right?
We have Julian Baker's album.
Are you kidding me? That's tomorrow?
No, it's not tomorrow. It's next week. Not this week, but next week, I should say. 26th, I think. Tash Sultana is what I have.
Have
almost in March.
I have here another Denzel Curry, Kenny Beats EP.
Yeah, I saw the. There's a trailer on Reddit.
Other than that, I don't see. I don't really see anything. I think it's gonna be a bit of a catch up week. Oh, SG Lewis's album comes out.
Well, there's one. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it might be a bit of a catch up album. Catch up year.
Let me look at my. What did I have? Like, where's my anticipated albums list? Did I delete that? Yeah, the only one I had that time was SG Lewis's. Because Little Oblivions from Julian Baker comes out the 26th, and then Kings of Leon is on the 5th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, why do they come on different days? Anyway. I don't know. Not a big week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well. All right. This is it for this week's episode.
Where can they find us, Sage?
On Facebook and Instagram, we are at its end podcast, and on our website at its end podcast.com.
Yes.
And stamps.com.
Stamps.com. I'm gonna stamp your ass out.
I can't wait till we get ad reads and then we can do ad reads.
All right. Go quick. Stamp the yard.
Stamp the yard with stamps.com. Promo code. And then it's like a 30 character promo code.
I was gonna try to make like a simp stamp kind of pun, but I couldn't really think of something like that. I stamp Dua Lipa. Does that make sense? No.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
We like the stock. I don't know.
We like the stamp. Stamps.com. Like the stamp.
There we go.
Stamps.com.
Let's get good natured products.
Yeah. It's the sponsors, bro.
Let's get them to sponsor us.
Oh, well.
We like plant-based takeout.
Plant-based.
Material.
Yeah, we like compostable pods. Compostable takeout containers.
That's Nexi, no?
Yeah, Nexi is the compostable pods, but they're making like compostable face masks.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Just shill a whole bunch of these Canadian companies.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'll just say, well, yeah, well, we don't care. Bye.
Bye.